بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday the 19th of June 2000. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we were discussing about Barzakh, remember? And what will happen in Barzakh. And today, I will continue from the Quran. Evidence to what will happen in the Barzakh, where there is punishment, there is reward, there is nothing, all these different verses together. But before I do that, I would like to talk about the ruh. And when the Quran mentions the ruh in different verses that we shall see today, what does it refer to? What does it mean? And what do we understand by ruh? Right? Last time, if you remember, we had this question that all animals, living things, have ruh. Is the animation in us the ruh or not? Right? And today we will see that it is quite an interesting thing that ruh is a name given to different things. And as far as a person is concerned, from minimum 3 to maximum 5 different kinds of faculties of the ruh are in there. So, we start first with understanding that ruh is that single factor that gives us life. And anybody who is lifeless, we would term that lifeless person as somebody whose ruh has departed. So the general understanding, the customary understanding, what we in Arabic as urf, is that somebody who does not have life in him or her has no soul in him or her. But the Quran, apart from this, which is a very granted, you take it for granted, that ruh is hayat. The Quran talks of 3 other kinds of ruh. The Quran calls Quran the ruh. If you look at Shura 52, Surah Shura, verse number 52. Surah Shura is Surah number 42. Verse number 52. 42, 52. What does it say in English? No, the first bit it says, وَكَذَلِكَ وَحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. A guidance, it calls it a guidance. But you can see the Arabic word. The Arabic word is used as ruh, right? Now, what it means is, مِنْ أَمْرِنَا, رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. The ruh used is ruhan, that is, one of, not complete, it is not the ruh, it is one of our ruh. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this Holy Quran, awhayna, that we have revealed unto you. And this Quran was revealed unto the Holy Prophet. This Holy Quran is a spirit of Allah's guidance, min amrina, from Allah's amr. Now, if you remember, and I think I've discussed this, that people came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him this question: what is this ruh? So the verse was revealed: yas'alunaka 'an ar-ruh, qul ar-ruh min amri rabbi. That they are asking you about the ruh tell them the ruh is from my Lord's commands or my Lord's affairs. I mean, amri rabbi, right? The word used is amr. Do you remember me explaining this? Whenever somebody comes to ask me, Kibay, tell me about the ruh. And I tell you that the ruh is from Allah's amr. Amr itli order, amr itli command, amr itli affair, right? And I tell you that Allah's command, ruh is from Allah's command. What would you understand by that? To carry out a command. Ruh itself is from Allah's command. Right? To carry out life or whatever it is. Anybody else? If I tell you okay, this is to do with Allah's command, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they are asking you about the ruh. قُلِ الْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّ. Tell them that that ruh is Allah's command. Right? From Him. Most mufassirin up to now were of the opinion that Allah is telling us that we cannot understand this. Okay, Allah. That means only entity or the only power being that can understand ruh truly is Allah. Ayatullah Tabatabai explains it differently. He says when Allah calls it amr, his amr, he is referring to a different kind of creation. When Allah creates anything on this earth, there are two ways he creates. One, he creates it through the system of nature, through the process of cause and effect. A system that he has set. But anything he creates it through the system. And another where he bypasses the system and says, Kun fayakun, innama amruhu idha arada shay'an alayhi salam. Surat Yasin. Innama amruhu, that is his command is, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا, if he wants something, أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ, he will tell it to be فَيَكُنْ, and it will become. Therefore, there are two kinds of creation. One that will follow the normal natural process of gradual growth through the system of cause and effect and time that he has set. And there is another that will happen instantly by him saying كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Right? Ruh is of the second kind because it is from Amrullah. And Amrullah is innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yakuna lahu kun. What Allah is telling us that ruh is not something that can be studied, that can be found out, that this is the natural process it takes. When we talk of our creation, we know what is the natural process that takes place before we are created by Allah. But when it comes to the ruh, there is no nature, there is no time process involved, there is no cause and effect involved. It is only Allah who directly commands be and it becomes, and the ruh. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was explaining in this verse that this ruh, soul that gives us life, is from the second kind of his creation, which only happens according to his instruction. That is why you will find that although we say that a child in the mother's womb will get the ruh after 4 months, right? And nobody can pinpoint and accept you on this day or this stage. They will be like, nobody can do that because that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, this particular part, Surah Shura 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Holy Quran as ruh. Right? Another surah, Surah An-Naba, which is 30th Sipara, first surah, Surah 78. Verse number 38. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْرُوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا. On the day of judgment, when ruh and malaika will stand in line. Right? Now, that means ruh is not part of malaika. That means this ruh is a creature different from Malaika. And it is a creature which will follow and obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will stand in line with the angels of the day. Right? So Mufassirin say Ruh is a name given to Quran, is a name given to Malakum min al Malaika, an angel from the angels, because it is not an angel, it is above, a different creature from angels. And the last verse is in Surah An-Naml 27-102. There is no 102, is there?
No.
It is 16-102, it is not Naml, it is Nahl. Now here, Jibreel is given the name Ruh. Right? Jibreel is given the name Ruh. قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدْسِ الْقُدْسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. He's talking about the Quran. The verse before that, if you read the verse before that, you find that people are objecting or are questioning him, that are you a liar? Who has brought this Quran? And Allah is saying, tell them, it is Jibreel, Ruh al-Quds, right? Who has brought this? Bilhaq. So, these are the three verses in the Quran where Ruh mentions the Quran, Ruh mentions angel from angels, Ruh mentions Jibreel. Right? Three verses of the Quran. You have Surah Maryam also, where in Surah Maryam, an angel coming to Maryam alayha salam, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهُ رُوحْنَا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِ رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهُ بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we send to her Ruh, our Ruh. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهُ بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. And he came in the image of a human being. Right? So that means, and that historically was Jibreel who came to Maryam alayhi salam to tell her that we are going to give you the glad tidings that a son will be born. Right? Now, Quran has described, the Holy Quran has described Ruh as angel and has described Ruh as Jibreel. Right? تنزل الملائكة والروح. Again, it is the same one which took Surah An-Naba 38. Malaika and Ruh. Right? So Malaika and Ruh is mentioned as separate entities, meaning that Ruh is somebody else than angels. Khulasa. Summary. Is Ruh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling a very high office close to him. Very high. This is in his perspective. Forget in our perspective. Because as far as we are concerned, when we look at our Ruh, we are talking of the life that we have. We are talking of that creation of Allah that gives us life. But keeping that aside, when Allah is talking of Ruh, Allah is talking of anything that is from him directly without following the process of creation. Right? Natural process, time process involved. Without that, and that it takes a post or a status very high, higher than angels. So in the eyes of Allah, Ruh is something indeed very, what would you say, very high, very elevated. Right? The eyes of Allah. Now, I come to, before I open this discussion, I come to the fact that, what about this Ruh? What is it? How would we describe it? What is the difference between us and the animals? Ruh is the being, the creation that gives us life. Then animals have Ruh. We have Ruh. Right? Now what is the difference? There are five kinds of Ruh. Right? All five are found in prophets, messengers, and imams. All five. Only four are found in a believer. And only three are found in a castle or a right, thus showing that a kafir and an animal, as far as in the eyes of Allah, there is no difference. Right? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said more than once, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like كَالْأَنْعَامِ, بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا, they are worse. Let me name the five. First one is Ruh al-Quds, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it more than once. The Ruh al-Quds, right? It's the Holy Spirit, as we know. The second one is Ruh al-Iman. The third one is Ruh al-Quwwah. The fourth one is Ruh al-Shahwa. And the fifth one is Ruh al-Madraj. Now I'll explain what Madraj is. Madraj. Right? Now, we start with the first one. Because the three are common in every creation of Allah, every animal, human beings and animals. Right? The first three, Ruh al-Madraj, Ruh al-Shahwa, and Ruh al-Quwwah. Right? Ruh al-Madraj is the first basic foundation from which any creation that has that can rise. Rise. Whether that elevation is very small or very high. But the very foundation, the ability to rise from that level is called Madraj. Madraj is in a daraja. You know what daraja is? Daraja and a daraja. Right? Madraj from that is a launching pad. From that we can rise higher and higher and higher. Whereas animals have that, because animals can be trained to become tamed. For example, wild animals can be tamed. When wild animals are tamed, it is this madraj, the mold of the madraj ruh that takes place. Right? Then you come to shahwa. Ruh al-shahwa are the instincts, the desires. Eating, sleeping, talking, fighting, all these things are instinctive in a human being. Right? And it is that ruh al-shahwa that is common to all animals and all human beings. Then you come to ruh al-quwwah. Ruh al-quwwah is the faculties that we have, the potentials. The five senses we have, where these are our powers. Right? Quwwah means power. The power to stand, the power to run, the power to sit, the power to talk, the power to eat, and so on. Right? These three are very basic and common in all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living things and animals on the earth. Then you come to Ruh al-Iman. Ruh al-Iman comes metaphorically speaking by accepting faith. And the power of faith per se. Right? Let's not discuss power of faith on Allah. That is the second thing. Before we come to that, we have to understand that faith itself is a power. I mean, that law. Let me give you an example. If I have faith that this medicine is going to heal me, right? Whether the medicine is going to truly heal me or not, but because I have faith, that medicine will heal. I don't know if you have friends in the medical profession, doctors, they ask me. Because I know in Mombasa they used to give sugar-coated Yeah, see what they would do is somebody would complain of fever and wants some kind of treatment. Now that is psychological. So what they do to fight that psychology, what they do is they give you Panadol, paracetamol, but they cover it with a different coating, right? And say, I'll go recover. Right? Now the difference, the change makes a difference. They say, okay, have it. But now, this is the fake truth. ignorance or lack of faith. I give you a religious example. Sheikh, I think it was Murtaza Al-Ansari. Sheikh Murtaza Al-Ansari was running a house in Najaf. In that house in Najaf, there was this student who always came late. Always. So Sheikh Murtaza Al-Ansari asked me, where are you coming from? He said, look, I have to go home. I have to cross a river. And to cross a river, I have to wait for the first ferry of the day. Sheikh Murtaza Al-Ansari said, fine, I have to give you a piece of paper. Write something, piece of paper. Tomorrow, hold this piece of paper and walk on water, but come back. You will walk on water. One condition, never open the piece of paper. Fine, no problem. The next day, the student with that piece of paper that Sheikh had given started walking on water. And he reached on time. So from there on, every day he used to come on time. But one day, he decided to open the piece of paper and see what is written. When he opened it, he saw, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But nothing else. And when he saw Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman. He folded the piece of paper. And as normally, he tried to walk on water, he could not walk. And when he arrived late that same day, Sheikh Al-Ansari was waiting for him on the door. He said, I told you not to open the piece of paper. Because your faith on Bismillah differs from my faith. My faith on Bismillah was the faith that gave me the power to walk on water. Because I know what power Bismillah has. You did not have the same thing, and therefore you could not walk. Every ayat that we recite of the Quran, every time you hear a Maulana or somebody tell you that, look, recite this dua, this problem will be solved. Or do this action, this will be solved. This will happen to you. Roji wat se, atha se, jira se, whatever it is. Bimari kya se, right? That is faith, underline. And it is the power of faith. I'm still discussing on the power of faith per se. Forget faith on Allah, which is a different thing. Which is one step higher. Because whatever abnormal feats and unnatural feats that we see non-Muslims performing, like Hindus and all that, these feats are far from faith. It is not faith in Allah, it is not a mojiz of God. This is just the power of faith they have from whatever they do. And with that power of faith, they make mistakes. So faith itself is a potential with all that. But if you couple that with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when it becomes a powerful force. That is when it gets to the stage where then life has no meaning for you but for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you become such a power. Look at the life of Ayatollah Khomeini itself. Ayatollah Khomeini was not afraid to fight against the Pahlavi regime that had been ruling. Dynasty that had been ruling Iran for 2,500 years. What was there to lose? He did not have anything. He had faith on Allah only. Nobody else. Nothing else. No time for negotiations. No discussion with any parties. Even when foreign countries were interested in intervening, Ayatollah Khomeini said there is no time. Our first and foremost condition is Shah. And it is that faith that created the results in this. Without that faith, but we must understand that it is faith on Allah that leads us to faith on the hereafter and faith in ourselves. In ourselves. If we don't have faith in ourselves, then there is no point. Let faith in Allah, faith in the hereafter, ne pachi e dunya, between that, whatever happens in our lives, because everything is underlined by our faith in Allah and the hereafter, then everything else takes a secondary. Everything else. You know, a person came to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq and said, this person was Hindu astrologer. Astrologer who, you know, doesn't believe in Allah. And he started asking the Imam, he said, look, tell me, any of your possession, anything that you own, and I will tell you where it is. The Imam said, fine. He said, I have a white horse. The Imam is telling him, I have a white horse. Where is it? So the astrologer started, you know, visualizing through his own calculations and in his own method. He started picturing. And finally he said, spot on, he told the Imam, your white horse is outside of this street, this gully and so on. The Imam said, you're right. Then the astrologer entered into a discussion with the Imam. At the end of the discussion, which was, you know, bordering on Tawheed and Adalat and all that, at the end of the discussion, this astrologer became a Muslim. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the Imam immediately tells him, now tell me where is my white horse. Tell me now, where is my white horse? So the man starts thinking this way, that way, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what has happened. But it is as if somebody has erased that power that I have. It's no longer with me. And the Imam told him that this is now because a talent was given to you because of your good deeds. In this world. Now Allah has switched that reward to not your talent. It needs faith. But if we have, the potential is there. That today, if you ask any devotee, you will see something. You will see something.
right? That means the ruh, the potential, is there. It is the physical features that are lacking, right? And physical features that are lacking in a person's body can be for so many factors. They can be for medical reasons, they can be for physical intervention, right? They can be like somebody said, test from Allah, they can be punishment of sins, name, anything, right? But the potential in a person to see just normally like everybody else, so this thing. It is the eyes that are not there, or the eyes that are damaged, which is the physical. So try and understand the difference between the ruh and the physical things. Right? Any other question? That we just discussed, Ruh al-Madraj, Ruh al-Quwwa, and Ruh al-Shahwa, right? These three are present in everybody. A mu'min becomes one better than the rest by having Ruh al-Iman, the power of faith that we just discussed. And prophets and imams are one better than mu'min by having the Ruh al-Quds as well. And Ruh al-Quds is the spirit granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is it. Did you have any
sahaja? You know this power of faith, not necessarily, not the like faith of the belief of Allah, the other faith, but where does that come from? Is that from like between 3 and 4?
No, it comes in Ruh al-Quwwa first. So when you get to Ruh al-Iman, that Iman is talking of Iman billah only, yeah? When it comes to Ruh al-Quds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ, and we supported him by this Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Quds is Holy Spirit, right? This Holy Spirit is, according to analysis, the lives of prophets and imams. This Holy Spirit is the power that messengers, prophets and imams have to withstand trouble, persecution by their own people, by their own family members, right? To persevere that, even inside family members are out to accuse you when all you want is best for them, right? That is why the Holy Prophet had said, Ma uridu mithla, ma udiya nabiyyu mithla ma udiya. No other prophet has been harassed and tortured the way I have done. You can imagine if the prophets, our prophet, mentally and physically, get to torture people. Now, it's because of that, Ruh al-Quds gives that power. This is analysis, it's no, don't say Quran ayat, kind of Quran. Quran ayat, Ruh al-Quds. For Ruh al-Quds, what is it? Right? It's this kind of power. And also, it raises the soul close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no other ruh can. Ruh al-Quds is extra support.
from Allah. He is an entity.
But then why was it that you were described?
The riwayat here, the ruh may be a generic term. For anything that is of high status in Allah's eye. Now, $64,000 question. What happens to ruh when we die? Huh? It stays with the nafs but leaves the body.
Okay.
So it leaves the body, yeah? After that, it is not in the body. One thing we must understand, that Allah is just. Ahad Lokeroi. Ahruh. If I were to receive punishment, I would receive punishment with the same ruh, with the same hand. If I have a different hand, different skin, right? Then there is a change. And Allah is more just than to punish something that is changed. If I have a different form, Allah will not punish the different form. Allah will listen to me in the same form that I am. To be able to punish me in exactly the same state I was in when I sinned. So that every part of my body, no part of my body can complain and say that I was not there. This is the depth of Allah's justice. My sin 10 years ago. The punishment. That's what it follows. That's what the hadith says. That Allah is more just. Allah will create a person, resurrect a person, and punish him as he was. Right. However, before we get on to that resurrection stage, we are in Barzakh stage. Barzakh ma hai jis. Last time we were discussing this very briefly. This time I want to discuss it with verses from the Quran. Resurrection. What happened in Barzakh? Punishment is the reward. There are four verses. Let me just give you the verses and then we can open the Quran. Yasin 26-27. Surah Al-Mu'min 46. Surah Taha 103-104. And Surah Ali Imran
169. 103-104.
So that Mu'min is 24, yeah? No. 40. So that Mu'min is 40. Which one do you want to see first? Let's look at Yasin 26-27 first. Yasin is surah number 36-27. قيل ادخل النهر قال يا ليتكم يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. Right? Now, this is talking of, I don't know if you know the story of Habib Najjar. The story of Habib Najjar, where two messengers, in the time of Prophet Isa, the two messengers were sent to a town, a village, who had warned them. And then they were not happy with those two messengers, so a third one was sent. They were still not happy, so a man came running, which is Habib Najjar, who was a monk. Right? He came running from outside the city, from the suburbs. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ Follow these messages. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ Follow these people who are not asking you for any reward. And they are the people who have been guided. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي Now Habib is talking. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ Why should I not worship that power, right? To whom we will all return. أَأَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِهِ Now he goes on describing this, right? What happens? The people of the village turn against him, and they kill him, right? When they kill him, when he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels, and this is the continuation, it says, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ He was told, enter Jannah. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَ لِي He said, how I wish my people would know that Allah has forgiven me. Now there is no communication. Right? He was told to enter Jannah. The question is, after that, immediately he was told to enter Jannah. So this is evidence. That there is Jannah immediately after death, before resurrection. Forget day of judgment. We will come to that later. This is evidence that there is Jannah immediately after death. He dies and he is told, قِيلَ أَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ He is still talking about his people. He is so close to them. He still is feeling about his people. Okay, kash, they had been able to see what my Lord is doing. So that transition, that switch, they have killed him, the soul has gone. Now they can't talk to him, he can't talk to them. But he has been told to go straight into paradise. He loves him, right? This verse is used as evidence by the Muslim that there is Jannah immediately after that. Right? Keep that in mind. Let's go to the next verse. Surah Al-Mu'min, which is Surah number 40. Verse number 46.